Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, come here. It's time for preparing for battle with Todd. No ear tickling here, just what we need to prepare for the battle.
¡Miren! ¡Miren! ¡Allá! ¡Viene una tormenta!
What did he just say?
He said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
Hello, everyone. Welcome.
Go ahead, Roz.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say good evening, everyone, and welcome to Preparing for a Battle with Roz. And here she is, our girl Roz.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Preparing for a Battle. I'm your host, Roz. And today, our guest will be Alexander Bachman. Am I pronouncing that right?
Well, it's spelled Bachman.
Bachman, I'm sorry. I always get confused. And I've been, the last couple of days, I've been like Alex Jones.
Alex Jones?
And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, girl, you need to get this name right. And, you know, I get emails and you know, lots of stuff. So, I mean, a lot of things, you know, go through my head. So, has our guest come on yet or?
Nope, not yet.
Okay. All right, well, let's just kind of get started. I just want to say hi to everybody, and it's been a long time. I'm a little nervous. It's been a while since I've been on here. But for those who are listening, I'm very excited that you're listening to us, and even those who are hitting the archives later, I'm really excited oh gosh, I don't even know what to say anymore. I'm like lost. I just, my mind is wow. I just lost
right
what I was
going to say.
Write this
down, everybody. Roz is speechless.
Yeah, I know, right? Ba-dum-bump. Usually I have a lot to say, don't I? My gosh, in the world happened. Well, I know there's a lot of things going on, and the first thing I wanted to say is I saw a verse this morning, and, you know, with all the stuff that's going on and all the things that we see that's going on and everything, this just really hit me because I know that as the time gets more, the time that the Lord returns, we're the enemy's going to be tearing us all up. And one of the things that I saw this morning was Psalm 62, and it's verse 1 and 2, and it says, "Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense." And that just seems so powerful to me. He is my defense. You know, that would go for a time if you know, you're being scared or you know, you're being troubled or you know, something like that. You're being you know, the enemy's coming after you really hardcore, and those words are just so powerful. You know, he is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And I can just, you know, picture someone standing there and the enemy's walking around in a circle and you're just saying, you know what, I shall not be greatly moved, you know. Greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. And that's just some powerful stuff. I just, that just hit me all day today. I kept thinking about it. His words are so powerful. And, He says that, you know, people die for lack of knowledge. Well, here's a whole book full of it, and it's right at our fingertips and hard to, you know, to for us to learn from. And you know, there have been a lot of other things that have been on my mind, too. There are women in India, and this is getting more and more rampant, that are afraid to go out during the day, and because they're being raped. I mean, like in broad daylight, the girls are afraid to go to school, and you know they can't. And you know, I know that there are some Christians there, and I know mainly it's all people who idolize. They have their own gods, but rape is rape, and it's not good. You know, these girls just want to get an education, and you know, being in a country already being a suppressed, as being a female anyway, you know, having to deal with that, and then just having to deal with that on top of it. I mean, it's, the enemy's really getting, it's sick. It's sick at that, that's out there. And I don't remember if I told you guys about the video that I had seen a couple years ago, where, you know, they're eating babies. They're showing on a cooking show, you know, what part of the baby is tender, and you know, what part you should eat. You know what I mean? I mean, that stuff's sick. And you know, with these killings that have been happening lately, you know, with the school and everything, and it's not just that. It's just that human sacrificing has not gone away at all. It's there. It's just called something else. And, you know, people are just accepting it. And they're now, you know, wanting to take away our guns. It's like, what? You know, now they're wanting to blame it on that, you know, as usual. That's just how people are. They want to blame. They want to have something to blame. Blame something, and we've all done it. You know, we sometimes make mistakes and go through life, and we blame other people for our mistakes or something. You know, it's always something to blame. And you know, it's just interesting how. It's just interesting how things are just turning. Just seeing the headlines, you know, even compared to 2 years ago, things have just gotten really strange, and more bizarre. You know, now the Mississippi River is swelling. It's drying up, and they're saying that, you know, they're not even going to be able to, you know, they're not even going to be able to run the barge or the ships and everything up and down the Mississippi River. You're going to end up closing that down. And one of the things I wanted to ask you, Dorothy, was have you heard anything about the levels of the Nile or the Euphrates?
I had heard that the Euphrates was drying up.
Interesting.
It's like some time ago.
What's that?
And that relates to the rivers drying up to make way for the kings of the east, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a caller. Is this our guest?
Well, let's just bring him on, and I don't know. Just bring him on.
Hello, hello.
Is this Alexander?
This is Alexander Bachman. Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly well, Dorothy and
Roz.
Ross. Hi, Ross.
Hi. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I was listening for about 5 minutes to what you were talking about. Very interesting. Thank you for allowing me to be on your show. It's quite an honor and a privilege.
Well, it's all for the Lord. So, but I don't know if you were listening to, I just kind of stopped there for a second because it's just interesting how the Mississippi is drying up, and it's drying up very, very fast. And someone told me at one point to keep an eye on that and also the Euphrates. And actually, I think the Nile River and the Mississippi actually match up the same, their shape the same. But at any rate, yeah, I don't know. I was feeling really strong today about this verse that I read, and it's Psalm 62, and it says, "Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." And when I was thinking of this, I was thinking about everything that, you know, all of us see that is taking place right now. And it's like, you know, no matter how much the enemy is trying to manipulate and do what he's doing, it's like, I will not be greatly moved even by this. You know what I mean? Because he wants uproar. He wants unrest. He wants civil. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. And one of the things that I agree totally with you is that he is the rock, and it's the foundational truth that which we base our truth upon, which is his word, and his word is a living word. And many people that do not understand that as of yet, well, we invite them to understand that the Bible is the living word of God. It's a book that was not written of this in this world. It's sort of like a USB. That was put inside our simulation, this world, in order for us to find a way out and not lose hope, because things are going to get much worse from now on.
Yes, they're
not going to get better. I know. Look, I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist, but I'm also very optimist. But look, it's right now three-fourths of Israel is under snow, for example.
Yeah, I know.
That is unheard of. We have Australia, right? 127 Fahrenheit. In central Australia, that's unheard of. They had to change the temperature scale to purple now in colors, in the color range, in dark pink.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how to scale it anymore. So, yeah, things are going to get bad, but things are also going to get better because the truth is being exposed.
Yes.
So I believe that all these changes, including the earth changes, the upheaval that we're seeing inside nations, the tearing apart of all those years of being having controlled societies by false and fake regimes and states, pseudo-democracies and everything is collapsing because it's already prophesied in the Bible. And if we're going to go into the end times, we have to understand that it's going to be a rapid succession of events.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that those 3.5 years that are mentioned in Revelation and Daniel are going to be anything short of something very, very quick and very fast. For us, in our perception of time and space, I mean, we're going to go right into a Orwellian, New World Government, techno-feudal control grid where they're going to use nanotechnology, biotechnology, information sciences, and cognitive sciences to literally control the human population inside an artificial beast system that is really going to be alive. I mean, artificial intelligence is that beast that's going to be omnipresent and omniconscious of whatever we do. And that's the scary stuff, because not only you and I are worried about this, what about the children that are going to inherit this 5 years down the road? Right?
Yeah.
So it is our duty as Christians to, number one, recognize what the beast system that is already taking shape and form truly is.
Yeah.
Notice that the false prophet, by no doubt, is the Vatican, and how the Vatican is pushing this agenda in order for us to accept the alien presence inside the planet as something that we've been warned of in 2 Thessalonians 2 by the apostles, because of the great deception that is at hand. And this great deception that is coming upon the land is for those that understand the deception. The rest that are already deceived are not going to understand it, because for them, this is the only solution to the problems on the planet. Somebody from an outside source or some other intelligence, which is evil in nature, we know that, is going to have to come and sort things out, because we can't fend for ourselves anymore. So when we see that, and what else do we have to hold on to? You know, I fought for years against the New World Order. I fought fighting against the New World Order in Mexico, in South America, preaching around the world, telling the people the truth to rise against the system. But you know what? After I read the Bible and ended up accepting Jesus Christ in 2008 in my heart, I realized that what's written in the Bible is going to be fulfilled. You
right.
see, Jesus came to fulfill. So we should not be afraid or be full of despair. We should be hopeful that our faith is strong, and that through that faith, by the grace of our living God, we can get through this great tribulation that is already upon us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because it, like you said, it's just going to get worse, and things that our eyes have never seen before, or you know, things that we've never laid our eyes upon are actually going to take place, and we're just going to look around like, what? This is really happening? Really?
For example, check this out. I'm in Mexico, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many things that maybe you haven't heard of that's going on down here.
Yeah.
I mean, the massive satanic killing fields we have here, we have killing fields. I mean, just in 6 years, we have more than 130,000 people dead. Out of those, we're talking about 15,000 women. We're talking about more than 5,000 children that are missing. We're talking about death squads dressed in black going in house per house, killing huge neighborhoods in Ciudad Juarez, and then recruiting the young men on the border with Texas inside Mexico, recruiting young men of age 10 to 15 years old, taking them to re-education camps. Now, in these re-education camps, They ask these children to debone human bodies that have been freshly killed for 1 month in order to desensitize them of what the human condition of death is. All right? Now, I spoke to sociologists from the Autonomous University of Ciudad Juarez on the border with El Paso, and they told me that after studying this anthropologically and sociologically, in Mexico, we're seeing a beta test of something of a bigger scale that is being planned at maybe a nationwide level, either in the United States or Mexico, to have death squads go into cities and neighborhoods, house per house, and start killing the people. All right? So, yeah, that's what we have in Mexico on a daily basis. Okay? And the information is not getting out because the media in Mexico, us as embedded reporters and journalists, are under strict gag orders by the cartels and everything, and the government itself, to not speak out about these matters. But when we touch upon the satanic agenda and the perversity and the evil nature of the actions that are getting bolder and bolder by the enemy, as we start seeing killing sprees inside elementary schools where the bodies of children are torn apart or shredded to pieces using, you know, semi-automatic weapons, okay, that we know that was the Sandy Hook. I have it on my website, alexanderbachman.com.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're exposing the fraud as it is. The shooting did take place, but we're seeing that it's being used by other agent provocateurs that are killing these children, and then they're blaming it on a poor little teenager that had a psychotic event because he had Asperger's syndrome.
Mm.
You know what? That doesn't fly with me.
No.
Because the rifle that he supposedly used was in the trunk of the mother's car. Right?
Mm.
So who took the shots? We heard the 911 calls, and we know that it was there were three other people at the school at the time. So we know that this was the same as Columbine, the same as the Aurora, Colorado shooting, the same as the Santana High School shooting in northern San Diego early in the decade of 2000s, in the early 2000s. I remember that well. And the school was called Santana, which is an acronym of Satan. You see? There's
mm-hmm.
there's a supernatural, yes, evil nature to all these events. And I decode these events. You know, God gave me a gift, an ability of sorts, to decode information at an instant. It's like I receive like instant revelations in a crossword puzzle format of a word, and it's like an instant deciphering of things, you know. And there are hidden codes inside all words, but especially the words that have events that are transpiring. All these events are interrelated. They're correlated from the spiritual aspect, not from the physical, from the horizontal happenings on the planet, but from a vertical stance. And we're seeing that the devil is very well operating on the vertical. God is also operating on the vertical. And we know that in this world, where there is a supposed balance between the two, but there is a non-existent balance, because we know Satan has been operating for the last 6,000 years or so, doing whatever he wants in order to prove to God in the judgment that he is like God. Eventually, this obviously is going to be his end game, and his end game is basically, you know what? I'm going to kill as many as I can before you come back, Jesus. I'm going to take out as many as I can in nuclear war, be it a Fukushima event, be it whatever it is, or creating killing squads in order to start eliminating population that is not Christian. You see, Satan wins by stealing Jesus' children. And we are at a race against time, basically trying to save the souls that we can in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's basically what it boils down to. You know, I gave up fighting the New World Order because really, we're not going to win that, because if we go against it, then Daniel is not going to come into fruition, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, but the strongest thing we do have is prayer. And prayer does work. And it's that prayer where you go really in communion with the Father. And, you know, Jesus said, the Father and I are one. Well, he was saying that if we are part of his assembly, if we are connected to Jesus, if we are connected to him as God and as our Savior, well, basically, we are living extensions of Jesus Christ on the planet Earth. Okay? Because the moment we were grafted and adopted by him through the salvation, through the cross, and through his holy blood, that, you know, everything changed in your life, in my life, in everybody's life that accepts that reality. And basically, your DNA is already written in the book of life. So as we are following his commandments, we're following also his will. Don't we wake up in the morning and feel a sudden urge of doing this instead of that, or feeling in our hearts that maybe we should be doing this or that, or these ideas come and pop into our head of doing a good cause? All that is the Holy Spirit talking inside us, you know, telling us, you know, this is what we should be doing. So I believe that all of us that are coming together, you know, the flock being reunited and gathered together again, is not something that is a coincidence. I clearly can see, you know, when I go out lecturing all over Mexico, or when I go lecturing into the United States, that the people are flocking because they are led to the lectures, or they are led to this radio show, for example, because they want to hear something that gives them hope, that allows them to remember and remind themselves that they are not alone in this battle. Right?
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
we're all
fighting it. Yeah, we're all together, and that's something too. I mean, he's out too, and that's why I said, you know, I shall not be greatly moved. And what speaks to me there is, you know, we all need to stick together and not separate, because that's what he wants. You know.
We're all at fault in a sense that we end up falling in that snare, that trap, where the enemy wants us divided, right?
Yep.
I do understand, because a kingdom divided cannot stand it. And we all fall for that game, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also that lack of humbleness on behalf of, and a humility or a humiliation on behalf of those that are still living in that philosophy, that Christian mindset, that we are one family, and they are not acting as one family. You get me?
Mm-hmm. No,
because
I hear what you're saying.
There's a clear problem inside Christianity, not only in the United States, but all over the world. Take Mexico, for example. In Mexico, 87% of the people are Catholic, but they don't practice even Catholicism, all right? They go to church once a year because it's the Virgin Mary's birthday. They don't even believe in Jesus. They don't talk to Jesus, much less read the Bible. So when we say Mexico is a Christian nation, that is hogwash. It's not the truth. Mexico is more pagan than Babylon right now. Okay? Just so you get an idea, it's the same agenda all across the board. In the United States, you have gay marriage. In Mexico, this was approved in 2010. In the United States, you have abortion. In Mexico, it was approved in 2010. Mexico, they made it legal. They made adultery legal now.
What?
So, yes, by law. So you can't get a divorce if somebody's being unfaithful to you as a couple. That's how bad it's getting. So they're like spitting in Jesus' face saying, look, we don't even care about the Ten Commandments anymore. What we want to do is we want to do what we did at the time of Babylon, and we want to do what Nimrod did, which is build the new Tower of Babel. And it's very easy to understand. The United Nations is a club. It's just a club. It doesn't have any power around the world except the power that the people think it has.
Right.
So it's like a house of cards. The United Nations has the power given to it by the nations that believe it has power, right? But if we abandon the United Nations and its communist goals, no nation in this world has to succumb or has to give in or cave in to its sovereign constitutional rights as a nation. And the problem with the United Nations is that the United Nations wants to build the new Tower of Babel, the same as Nimrod tried to do it, the same with the Tower of Babel. Okay, now the problem here is that they want to push these agendas through the nations via their secret treaties that they do up there in Manhattan at the United Nations headquarters, and they sign these fake documents because they don't have any validity whatsoever. And then they say, well, you know, of the 190-some nation states, 80% signed the treaty, so the treaty must be now enforced in all countries of the world. Wait a minute. We have constitutions. We have a sovereign right. We have our own congresses. No, that's what the United Nations hates before all, that we have our own laws and regulations inside our own countries. So what did they do? They subterfuged the nations. They went inside locally and infested our municipalities. They infested our local governments with this cockamamie philosophy that the world is in danger because of global warming. Now, there is no global warming. It's all a sham, right?
Of course.
But everybody fell for it. Now, everybody's green, and they go to their Starbucks, and they drink their little coffee on recycled carton, and they feel better because there's no CFC in the environment. It's all a lie. And we've already exposed it. You know, I'm just tired of exposing this for the last 25 years. You know, what I like to do is talk about our Lord and telling the people, look, pray that he comes quicker than quick, right? Because things
Amen.
Are going to get worse each day.
Big time.
Worse each day. You know, for me, it's almost unbearable now to just be telling the people, like Augusto Perez, whom we love very much, right?
Yeah, very much.
He went to Guerrero, where Acapulco is, recently. Mm-hmm. Well, I got news, you know. Right now in Acapulco, the inhabitants around Acapulco had to take out their weapons and start patrolling their own streets because of the police can't even do their job anymore. So we have people right now in Guerrero, where Augusto Perez was, protecting themselves, fending for themselves, rising up against the criminal insurgency because the government abandoned the people. And that's the truth in Mexico. We live in a narco state. We live in a failed state, in a state of war, basically. And this is not me. This is according to the Heidelberg University conflict barometer that comes out of Germany each year, where they say which countries are at war, really at war, and Mexico is at war. And it's funny to me that Obama and Eric Holdren and all of them are selling the guns directly to the strongest cartel in Mexico in order to monopolize the drug business, so those drugs go inside the United States to kill off the minorities, which are the black and Hispanic populations. Huh? So and via Chicago. So it's a satanic agenda all around. I mean, be it the narco, be it the states, be it whatever it is, it's a satanic global conspiracy. Now, how are we going to get around this? The only way to get around this is to localize ourselves and say, look, we're doing as much as we can, but we have to preach the gospel. We have to tell the people, you know, the only ticket out of this world is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You have to come to terms with that reality. You know, I'm preaching all day long. I'm a language professor, but, you know, at the end of my classes, I spend another extra 30 minutes with my students, and I tell them, look, I'm going to talk to you right now about reality here, okay? Let's talk about reality check 2013. Your soul is in danger of going to hell. Yes, hell is a real place. Well, you don't believe me? Well, let's talk to Dr. Maurice Rollins, a cardiologist, who for 10 years started basically reviving people via CPR and other methods in the emergency room at hospitals in the States. And the people came back, you know, with smelling like sulfur, with basically steam coming out of their ears and their nose and their mouth, with their eyes in shock of terror that because they don't want to go back to hell. I mean, these things are really, really happening, and they are not being covered by any mainstream media, because, of course, that would not be appropriate, but also it's not being covered by the mainstream churches, right? And what's going on is because it's not convenient. You see, if we tell people that we're going into the end of days and we start preaching the Bible and we start preaching the truth about what truly the Bible states of how we should act in concordance as to what Jesus wants us to be, all right, well, we lose money, because all religion is right now is basically a facade of making money. It's the same as laundering money. They're laundering the money of Jesus Christ. Basically, they're playing with the faith of the people. And when you do that, not only you go to hell and eternal damnation, you will be severely punished for those actions. So we have churches that are fake churches all over the board, and Satan loves that, because the churches that don't even read the Bible anymore, which are very common, we have Joel Osteen changing the gospel, for example. He has his new preaching the abundance prosperity gospel,
mm-hmm.
and he wouldn't even think about talking about the end of days in his sermons, for example. We have those situations, and you know, I believe that David Wilkerson, rest in peace, was right on with respect to what was going to happen before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And when he cried in that sermon, I think the video's up on YouTube. I mean, that shook me up a lot. And you know, it helps us as Christian brothers and sisters to really align ourselves with Jesus. I know it's easy Monday to Friday, you know, we go to our everyday activities, but you know what? I don't do it Monday to Friday, my everyday activities. I'm dedicating every day now to Jesus. I can't stop thinking about Jesus and our home in heaven, because I've been there. You know, I was taken to heaven in 2005. I know what heaven looks like. I know what heaven is like. I know what is in heaven. And when I've listened to other testimonies, you know, it just hits home for me, because I remember my home up in heaven. Okay, we are not of this world. Jesus said it, right? And neither was he. So that means we are foreign to this world. And it's in the core of our soul, the true source of our creation. And that true source of creation is an absolute truth, which cannot be defined necessarily as we define things by names and labels. It's something that vibrates in our core soul, in the core of our soul, that aligns us with our true spirituality, which is, there is one creator. That creator created us based on love. We were one with that creator at one time in our existence. That we are lost from that home right now, yes. That we were fractalized from that existence, yes. And that we are trying to find our way back home, yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really hard if you take into account there are other people that are worse off in other countries, let's say Mali or Libya or other countries, that they don't even know about the Bible, you know? They don't even know about Jesus. You know, just the other day I received a Skype, which is incredible technology. I mean, Daniel 12:4 is like people would go to and fro across the earth and knowledge would increase. I have this sister in Pakistan who Skyped me at 2 o'clock in the morning. Hi, could I fellowship with you? Sure, you know. It's like, wow. Somebody from Pakistan is contacting me in Mexico because she doesn't have any Christian brothers and sisters in Pakistan to talk to. Right? So, you know, those little things and the emails that we get thousands of emails, but the emails, those little emails that where we have helped to change people's lives and helping them, you know, realign them with Jesus. But so many people, you know, they are Christian, but they don't practice Christianity. They do believe in Jesus, but, you know, I'm going to leave that for later. Once they get the true shock of listening to the hardcore truth of what Jesus is and when he's coming and how he's coming, you know, they fall in love with the idea that they're going to be taken out of this world, all right? And, you know, that's the only thing we can cling to, you know, clinging on. And it's through that faith. Now, yesterday I was reading the Bible, and there was something very interesting that stood out at me. I was talking to Deborah Tavares. I interviewed her today, and her interview is at alexanderbachman.com. If anybody wants to have a listen. And she told me yesterday on the phone, I invited her on the show because I substituted Dr. Deagle today. And she said, you know, Alex, we need to occupy. We need to occupy our time, our space, into telling the people the truth. All right. So I remember, you know, that Jesus said, occupy till I come. So I researched in the Bible. I found in Luke 19:13. And Jesus said, occupy till I come. What does that mean? That means if your body is a living extension, you are a USB. This was revealed to me by Jesus himself. My children are my USBs, he told me. You are universal spiritual bodies, and you are connected to the Most High God. Okay? And Jesus was standing right beside me, and there was this huge mountain of USBs, you know, like the ones we connect on computers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and it was a gigantic mountain, very high up, and we were all high up, and he was on my right side, and I said, and what is this? He says, you are my USBs, but look, I want you to tell my children, look, this is going to happen to them. If they don't connect to me, if they don't have a direct relationship with me, if they don't connect with me, all right, this is what I'm going to have to do. He was crying, and he lit the mountain of USBs on fire. All right? Now, people say, well, why would Jesus do that? Well, because you're not Christian anymore. You know what I mean? You're not even doing his will anymore. You're like an empty vessel for him. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like when he says, you know, I am the vine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the vine in Latin, for example, is the vid, and vid comes from life, right? So he is the living life. He is the vine. He is the vineyard in itself. And we are those little branches, you know, stemming out and connected to him. And we are producing fruits. Now, if we don't produce fruits for that vineyard, what's going to happen when the harvest comes, you know? They're going to start cutting off those branches that are lifeless, that do not have any more Holy Spirit energy inside them. Those people that are not preaching the truth and living by the Word of God. Those people that are hypocritically saying they're a Christian but are not, and are not walking the true narrow path, those are the ones that are also in danger. And that's why I'm so worried about this situation, you know? I mean, how is it possible that we have to start scolding our brothers and sisters because they're not doing the work that Jesus has commanded them to do? And I'm talking about pastors. I'm talking about, look, the city where I live, we have like 8 pastors, Christian pastors here, and one of them is studying, you know, with me many, many advanced concepts that I've been researching and learning through Douglas Riggs and Augusto Perez and Professor Truth and many others. And what's going on here? You know, I'm transferring this information to our Spanish-speaking counterparts in the Church of Yeshua. But he tells me, you know what, the other pastors, they don't even read the Bible anymore in their congregations. That's old news, they say. Can you believe that? Old news? The Bible is old news. So.
I've felt that.
Yeah, so when Jesus says, you know, occupy till I come, what do you think he was referring to?
He's saying, be about my business.
Yeah, man. I mean, dedicate yourself to me. Occupy. Mm-hmm. But it's with a capital letter O, right? And for me, it's very interesting. Why it's a comma and that's occupy till I come, like a separate sentence, but it's after a comma. So why is it a capital letter there? Well, according to Thayer's Dictionary, which is the best concordance dictionary there is, because the strong concordance is already manipulated. That's why we use Thayer's. It says that the word occupy means pragmatomai, which is to be occupied in anything, to carry on a business, and basically to carry his business, right? Mm-hmm. And we should occupy ourselves in him, okay? That's the way I understand it. You know, Jesus talks to everybody in different ways, but you know what? Today, when I woke up, you know, I realized that, you know, everybody has problems. Everybody has flaws. Nobody's going to be perfect. I mean, who said we were all going to be perfect? Nobody said that. But Jesus wants us to be perfect. But, you know, sin is such a terrible infestation that literally I do see it every single day. Evil has overtaken the minds and the souls of people. It's evil. It's demonic. And since we're a very, very small minority that are saying these very advanced spiritual concepts, that really there is a demonic infestation already living within the people of our nations and countries around the world, well, they take it as lunacy, that we're crazy, we're far off the edge. We're not. Because I've seen it, and I've been a living witness of these actions. You know, the biggest weakness of a man is the spirit of lust in women, right? Mm-hmm. And you can see it everywhere here in Mexico, but especially, you know, we are seeing a skyrocketing problem with pornography. We have pornography being taught to kids at 4 years of age now openly and everywhere. You walk in newsstands, at the shopping counter, at the store. We see pornography openly anywhere in Mexico, for example. The same in the States. You know, most of the men dedicate half of their time on the internet to pornography online, for example. Okay? And 70% of pastors are addicted to some form of pornography. 70%. So, I mean, that's how much territory the devil has claimed for himself within Christ's people, right? And that is scary stuff. Scary, scary stuff because, I mean, people are going to churches believing that they're going to find some truth there, and they're just being deceived. So people really, you know, they get fed up with this and they say they look for an answer, an alternative. And I think that's where the internet came in, you know. But the internet has helped a lot of people to find so many good resources in order to find those little golden nuggets of truth out there, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's how it started for me. I know that.
Amen.
I think I was doing something for school one day and I just happened to run into someone's website. And oh, my gosh, you know, just from that point, I think 3 years had gone by, and before you know it, radio pops up, and I mean, just people are so hungry. They want to know, and when you hear the truth, it clicks. It's like something in you clicks. It's like, man, this is right. But see, the thing of it is you knew it all along. You just didn't come up or out. or you just weren't hearing the right things, you know, from the right people. But what I wanted to say to you quickly was, I had a dream I went to heaven once that I was in a pink bunny suit before God. I thought that was kind of comical. I thought I'd tell you that quickly. But I just wanted to ask you, though, if there's anybody, you know, I'm pretty straightforward here on the show. What for anybody who might be struggling with any of these things that, you know, you're talking about tonight, or is just, you know, struggling with dealing with the enemy and is being torn, what would you say to them right now? It could be anybody in any country.
Yeah, any country. You have to start gaining knowledge in order to understand the wisdom. In order to become wise with the Word of God, you need knowledge. You need knowledge to empower yourself. I believe that there are many very, very good books out there that teach us about spiritual warfare. We are in a time where we're born into a battlefield, and literally, we are living in a spiritual battle for our very souls and our very existence. We are under constant attack by the enemy, but the enemy is not attacking us physically, most of us, but there are so many women that are being raped. Look, I helped save this woman in Los Angeles in 2010. I was giving this lecture, right? And something incredible happened that day at the Los Angeles Convention Center. I was giving a lecture to 500 people. And I was going to present a book that I translated into Spanish, and I ended up preaching the gospel instead of doing that because it was this New Age Expo, whatever it was, right? And I was the keynote speaker at then. I was invited, and I started preaching the gospel and telling the people the truth about Jesus Christ. All these people are in the New Age shaman and all this stuff about the gurus and the UFOs and all that, right? So, you know, at the end of the lecture, I finished my truth because the Holy Spirit talks through you, you know? But I never had something so tremendous happen to me. When I got off the stage, a woman about 45 came to me, and she stood like 4 feet away in front of me, and she said, you know, I was going to get on a flight to take a Reiki course in Mexico City today, and I didn't because my flight was canceled, and I don't know why. So a friend called me and told me to come see you today and tell me what should I do, right? She says to me. That moment, I felt like a boom of energy enter into my heart and overtake my entire heart, all right? And this bolt of lightning came out of my heart and hit her. I mean, she's like 4 feet in front of me, and hit her in her heart and paralyzed her. And she was like, what are you doing? And I was like speechless, like, I'm not doing anything, right? And suddenly, God spoke through me and told her about the cells in hell that are awaiting people that practice, for example, Reiki and all this stuff. And told her, you are my daughter. I do not want you there. And he transferred the visions of those places inside her. Her eyes went into basically open wide, you know, shock, the mouth wide open, into an epiphany of an experience. It lasted about a minute. God telling her, you know, we're right there at the last turn, and we're going right into the last, you know, the stretch, you know, the last stretch. We're almost getting home. We're almost there. And you have this great opportunity, you know, to align yourself to me that I created you. And basically, if you don't do it, this is going to happen to you. So all that transpired, that energy went out of my body, and she just immediately hugged me and started crying like a baby. I did as well because I didn't know what was happening to me at the time. I even documented this because I wrote it down that very night at the hotel where I stayed at because I didn't know what it was. Now I understand it was the Father working through me, right? So it's like there's so many, you know, people that are gifted that are becoming newborn Christians, that have tremendous gifts that, that Jesus is giving them, but they don't know how to express them, you know, in Christian terms, maybe, because we're not very well versed in the Christian terms. But let me tell you, this woman, 2 weeks later, went to a workshop that I gave up in L.A., and I asked her, what happened that day? And she said, God spoke through you. I saw the eyes of God inside you. I'm like, wow, right? So it's things like that have happened to me. I've had so many new supernatural experiences. So what I can tell people here is that, for example, this woman accepted Jesus, but she didn't do it wholeheartedly. You know what happened? Her husband was in bed with the enemy. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Her husband was the spiritual head of the house and did not accept Jesus, but she did. You know what happened to her? And I really pray for her still. She was gang raped by demons in front of her husband inside her bed. Physically, all right? She was grabbed physically. Her husband was grabbed physically, restrained, so he could see how they raped her. And it's those things, you know, that really wake you up because, you know, that day after that lecture that where she confessed everything that happened to us at the convention center, she came to me and sat on a bench outside on the lobby of the hotel in L.A., and she told me everything that had been happening to her. And I told her, you're going to have to learn spiritual warfare. Your husband's going to have to renounce to a series of things. And, you know, there are very good spiritual warfare manuals out there, but I really suggest that those men that are weak and do not know how to pray because they are abandoning their whole family and are not praying the blood of Jesus Christ upon their houses, their bedposts, their doorposts, etc., as it was done in ancient times, are really in danger of being invaded by the enemy. You see, prayer really does work, and it does create this spiritual layering, let's call it, like insulation around your home, around your mind, around your body, everything. All those layers in the quantum field that we could term into scientific terms are real. There are torsion fields, and all of this have little portals and gateways to other dimensions. Well, it's those interdimensional realities where these fallen angels are operating from, and they're coming into our world and manipulating the matrix and cheating at it because we can't see them, but they can see us, right? But, you know, when you are protected by the most powerful element in Jesus Christ's arsenal, which is his blood, then you have nothing to fear. Because truly, you know, we've been practicing spiritual warfare. I've been taking courses. I studied all the courses by Derek Prince and everything. Thanks to Steve Quayle for that. You know, and I've learned that spiritual warfare really does work. So all those people that don't know what to do or how to do it, you know, they're very good resources online. Just look for a spiritual warfare manual and you'll start learning. And Rebecca Brown's books are very good for those women that are under attack or have had attacks. I have some here. Preparing Ourselves for War, that's one book. I think the other one is Leading the Captives Free. I have them here in Spanish, but in English it's titled, and I apologize here, what's the name of the book in English? He Came to Set the Captives Free, I believe.
Okay.
So these are Rebecca Brown's books. She's a medical doctor. That's why they're good, because she is living testimony of how these demonic influences do operate in the physical whenever they want. And when I've listened to Pastor Douglas Riggs, for example, with you guys, mm-hmm. I've listened to all of these testimonies by these Nephilim mothers, which are being termed, is just incredible and amazing how the spiritual warfare really is going on. And, you know, my wife is constantly attacked, and I'm praying over her. And when we don't pray maybe for a day, they're attacking again. They attack you in the dream state. They infest your mind with nightmares or this or that. So we're under constant attack. Look,
yeah.
Satan doesn't care about Buddhists. He doesn't care about the Hopi or the Mayan shamans down in Mexico. Mm-mm. He just cares about the Christians. Satan mm-hmm. cares about us because he wants to destroy us, right?
Right, they're doing what he wants, so they're just doing they're just doing what he wants. So, you know.
Exactly.
You know.
So, you know, I've had it, you know, in 2007, 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, I woke up because I felt something in my bed. I'm like, what's that, right? And these manta rays, these black manta rays came out from within the sheets of my bed, and I just got up like I catapulted up on my feet, supernaturally, I mean, and I got up and I breathed as deep as I could, and I turned on the lights, and I started walking and rebuking these entities in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all right? And they went away. They never came back, but they were there, you know? So believe me, we've all been through some form of attack or another, and the only way to get through this is if we adequately put the resources you know, in our hands. For anybody that needs them, I have direct access to them on my servers. Anybody can email me at, my email is Abba, like Abba Father, A-B-B-A, at alexanderbachmann.com. And that's Alexander Bachmann with an X and B-A-C-K-M-A-N.com. And if you email me, I can get you all the resources you want. It's very easy. You can find the PDF ebooks online now. It's so simple to have access to this pristine knowledge. If not, go to a library or buy it online. But start reading. You need to read in order to begin to understand and digest the information of what spiritual warfare is all about.
Yeah, and I think that not only that, you know, there's a lot of, like you were saying, Doug Riggs, which I know and have had on the show quite frequently, Russ Dizdar, Douglas Woodward. You know, there's some really good resources out there, you know, for us to get our hands on and really get in there and read. And, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, it's something to humble yourself and say things. But, you know, I'll be the first one to say I have definitely, this last year has been really, really hard for me. I've gone through a lot of personal things, so it's been a struggle. And sometimes you feel so weak and you feel alone. And, I mean, I was just like to the low. And it's just like, you know what, I picked up my Bible and, you know, these words just, they just pop out at you and you see things that are happening. These women over in India being raped during the day. The Bible and God's word is all we have. It's all we have. And it's so strong. But, you know, you see those women over there, they don't deserve it. And most of those folks over there, they're into idol worship and you know, and it is just really sick to open it up and just see that these girls, 12, 11, 10, is being raped. They can't even go to school. They're in so much fear, and that's where the enemy wants us to be. And it's like, Lord, you know, send them a word. Let somebody hear something, because you know what? They shall not be moved.
Okay. Well, you know what we can do? At that moment, you say, well, I'm going to pray, but I'm also going to say, okay, I'm going to contact a Christian organization, one of the big ones, you know, Voice of the Martyrs, or somebody like them, and send them a letter and put whatever resources I can muster up, you know, and send them some money their way and tell them, go help and start preaching the word in India, please, to these girls. Please send somebody over there. They have volunteers that go over there and start preaching the word in dangerous countries like North Korea and Iran. So, yeah, I mean, I felt pressed on my heart. I've told Monica, my wife, you know, we have to start giving money to Voice of the Martyrs, because I feel in my heart that we need to help this organization out. Not because they're paying me to say these things, because they're not, mm-hmm. but because, you know, I've been getting their newsletters in the mail, And I've been studying what they've been doing, and they really truly look like an organization that's very well organized. And, you know, that way we can help much more people like that. But, you know,
that's what we need to do, and it's like happening here. It's happening here in our in like you said, it's happening in Mexico. Well, I'm not there. We're not going to hear it. They're not going to let us hear it unless we hear from you or somebody else inside. And it's happening here as well.
Let me tell you this story. Here in Mexico, we have a very big satanic establishment. We have one of the highest satanic centers in the world. There's a very big satanic activity within the Mexican, let's call it the Mexican Hollywood arena. Actors, singers, all of them are satanically driven. And they've done the initiations. They're all infested by the same satanic principle. And they openly do it, you know. Just people don't understand it because they don't openly say it on TV, but the satanic influence is always there. Now, when we see these things, and when we saw President Felipe Calderon, who right now is teaching at Harvard University of all places, leaving us with 130,000 dead, and saying days before he left power, wow, all we need is for the Popo volcano, which is the biggest volcano in Mexico, the biggest volcano in North America, all we need is for this volcano to blow, so we can end 2012 with a bang, like celebrating his 6 years of genocide in Mexico. You know, it's these psychopaths that have gone into power because the people have allowed them to go into power. We are losing our nations because we, as a people, have not demanded somebody that truly represents the people. Because we're all busy in our everyday lives and nobody wants to participate in politics and all that stuff. I can understand that. But, for example, to have the United States be worried about the Israel issue or the Mali issue instead of coming inside Mexico to help us out with this dilemma is something unheard of. I mean, we are neighbors with you guys, you know? And if I tell you what happened in San Fernando, Tamaulipas, you would go into shock and awe with what the Zeta cartel is doing, which were trained by the CIA over there at Fort Bragg. The Zeta cartel were high elite Mexican special forces trained by the United States Armed Forces. They went rogue in 1997. They splintered off the Gulf cartel, and they formed their own super cartel in Mexico that is right now operating. Now, these guys are being trained by Hezbollah and Hamas, but these guys, I mean, they have no compassion whatsoever. These are people that are beheading children in the streets of Mexico and putting the heads in the street so when children go to school, they see the heads of their classmates being cut off, all right? These are people that in San Fernando, Tamaulipas, grab the babies out of their mother's arms in the middle of the street in plain daylight in mid-morning in downtown San Fernando and put the babies on the street and drove their pickup trucks over them. Okay? That's how bad this is getting. And, you know, oh, but it's not our problem because it's the Mexican issue. No, it's very well your problem as well. You see, because this is getting to a point where it's just infesting everything. It's like a virus. Satan is like a virus. Now, there are some people that I've been talking to, researchers and the such, that might think that Satan is even an extension, like an avatar form of Lucifer, right? Which is very interesting to think about. Because when we read the Bible, it says Lucifer was a beautiful angel, right? Yeah? What if Satan is an extension of what Lucifer truly is? And that's why Satan has the ability to operate in this world and do all his evil things. I mean, I'm still researching that. I'm just putting that on the table, but I mean, how can we come to terms with understanding these heinous crimes going on? I mean, people getting on their normal bus ride, commuter buses from one city to another, you know, maybe an hour ride. But if the sun is setting and it's 6:30 p.m. on that Saturday evening or Friday evening, be careful because the Zeta stop that bus. They bring everybody off the bus. They separate women from men. They separate the elderly from the children. Then they take the children and the women and the young boys and the men to another location. But before that, they put the elderly down on the road, and they force one of the members of these young men to drive over, okay, drive over the elderly on the road and kill them. Then they take all of these people out to the desert to their re-education camps they have, and they gang rape the women in front of the children, and then they cut them into little pieces with machetes. Okay, this is done so they can traumatize the little kids, so they just go into shock, basically, and their mind goes directly into what Pastor Douglas Riggs has talked about so much, about disassociation, identity disorder, right? What Doug Dizdar is talking about the super soldier, satanic mm-hmm. super soldiers and all that. Well, guess what? They're already moving up the stage a bit and training the children to accept these new forms of rapid programming into satanic influence. Because these children, when they see this, they just astrally escape their bodies out of trying to escape from what they're looking at, right? And then the commander of this cartel grabs the young men and gives them a sledgehammer and says, I want you to kill him, his brother, or somebody else on the bus that is of similar age, 25 years old or 18 years old, and wants them to hammer him to death. And if he doesn't do it, they're going to kill their little the little sister or brother. So it's under these mechanisms that things are happening on the border with the United States right now, 24 hours, 24/7. And is the United States doing anything about it? No, they're just sending in more guns through Rapid and Furious in order to fuel the crime even more. I mean, so it's getting to a point, Ross and Dorothy, that we're going to have to like say, what else is left? I mean, we have to pray to God for him to intervene, but we need like massive intervention here, you know? So I truly believe that we are now in the Great Tribulation, and it's going to get worse from here on, and we're going to have to be like, you know, like it says in the Bible, an underground church system, you know? And be careful if you say you're a Christian, because you're going to be hunted down. You know, I was talking to this member of our radio station in Mexico, because we're a Christian online radio service at conscienciaradio.com, and we serve millions of people, you know, around the world, the Hispanic community. We've become like a beacon for so many people with regards to these topics that weren't spoken of and now are being spoken of more openly. And we've interviewed Douglas Riggs on our show. We've had Augusto Perez. I mean, we've done the work trying to get this information out in Spanish. But you know what? You know, we have sisters, Christian sisters and families stuck in a city called Piedras Negras, Coahuila. This is on the border with Eagle Pass, Texas. It's a city on the Mexican side right on the border with Eagle Pass. And they're in a state of siege. These cartels took over the streets. They have RPGs, they have bazooka launchers, and children are being picked off of the street. They're going house per house, stealing the young men and the little boys from their homes, and they're taking them to these retraining camps, you know? So, it's all over the place. And what we're getting, the information, the intelligence information we're getting about what's coming, is something greater and worse even. I'm like, how worse is it going to get if it's already really, really bad? Like Larry Taylor says, how bad is it? Well, it's badder than bad. It's worse than worse. But how worse is worse? Is the new normal not enough for us? We live in a depraved world where there's depraved indifference among all the citizens who are not Christian, which is a majority. Now pro-gay, pro-lesbian is normal, multi-gender, this and that. Abortion, it's okay. You know, just today on Alex Jones' website at Infowars.com, you know, Planned Parenthood is boasting that they killed 33,000 babies in 2012. through abortion. They're boasting it. They're saying, yay, we did it. I mean, do you understand what's going on? We can't live in this world anymore. So since Jesus is not taking us out, I don't see no rapture coming anytime soon or any taking us home. We're going to have to go right through the Great Tribulation to the seventh trumpet, maybe. But we're going to have to hang in there. And what's the only thing that we have to cling on to? His word, the Bible, and faith. And it's faith alone that's going to get us across these things, you know. Because we started praying over Piedras Juarez, Coahuila, while there was a state of siege in September and October by the cartels. And the Mexican government hired a secret Israeli death squad team to go into the city. Okay, that's really going on right now in our streets in Mexico. And to kill even civilian population, didn't matter, just as long as they cleaned out the cartel that was operating there at the time. They didn't successfully clean the city, but at least, you know, there's more tranquility in the city. But, you know, we were praying for them and praying for them and praying for them incessantly, like in Ephesians 6, it states that it's not just the sword, it's not just the shield, it's not just the helmet, it's not just the boots, right? It's not just the belt. Okay, and it's not only the breastplate, it's also the sword, but beyond the sword is incessant praying. And I think that's what's going to get us through this thing, you know? Okay? And, you know, when God shows me stuff, you know, He transports me. When I start praying, He just, I don't even close my eyes anymore. He just transports me into what He wants me to see. And I've seen things so horrible that people's hearts would fail them right now, you know, of the things that are to come. And I don't do this to instill fear in anyone. I do this to tell you, this is what's coming. This is what's happening. We're going into a great tribulation that the world has never seen since the creation itself. I mean, this is going to be the final exam here, right? And if we're going to get through this and we're going to go into the fire together, and as good wheat that we are, we're going to be, you know, put in the oven, and this oven is going to, you know, the husk is going to come off the wheat, and we're going to fly up into the air and be taken. Well, so be it. That's how we're going to be saved by Jesus and His angels. But, you know, the tares that are operating in this world, passing off as Christians or passing off as Jews who are not, for example, and not doing God's will, but doing Satan's will. Like, for example, we know that the government of Israel right now is guilty of harvesting organs from Palestinian children. I mean, what's going on here, right? We have Israel going into Haiti after the earthquake, harvesting organs from the Haitians. What's going on here? That's not very Christian. Okay, so you know what I'm getting at? And then I'm not justifying the Palestinians either, because radical Islam is terrible. I'm exposing them on my website as well. But you see what I'm getting at, that evil is everywhere. So we have to stick together in prayer. Prayer is a supernatural, superconductive form of the Holy Spirit interconnecting His flock. You see, when I pray, I connect with other people. It's uncanny. You know, it's like a month ago somebody came to me and said, you know, God showed me you in my prayers. This guy sat down in the restaurant, you know, where I was having a coffee, and he's like, could I sit down for a moment? I'm like, yeah. He said, are you Christian? I said, yeah. And this guy's like, a month ago, God, the Holy Spirit told me that I would meet you, and He showed me your face. He told me to sit down here with you. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, and he's like, you know, I come from a city down south. It's about 2 hours away on car. But you know what? There's a terrible problem inside our churches. All the pastors are addicted to pornography. Can you help me out with this problem? Can you believe that? That's happening to me on an everyday basis. It's like supernatural events aligning. But it's not me. It's Jesus, right? He's bringing us together. He's aligning events for us to work together. So, yeah, I believe that we have to trust in Him in everything that we do, the moment we wake up, the moment we go to bed, and yes, get on our knees. And don't be ashamed of getting on your knees or taking your Bible to work and preaching the gospel in the streets. of our nations. Don't be afraid of that. One example, Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico. This is 60 miles south of Laredo, Texas. What's going on there? Something incredible happened in a small little town there. Policemen traded their Bible, their guns for Bibles, and they started preaching the Bibles with pastors that gave them special courses, and they're going into, you know, the narco territories and preaching the Word of God. Okay? And guess what's happening? Narco assassins, you know, these killers that kill for $100 a head, they're starting to listen to the Word of God, and so this narc goes into a pastor's church with a 9mm gun and tries to shoot the pastor in the head in front of the congregation on a Saturday, and he couldn't pull the trigger. And the pastor told him, it's just that God told me you were coming, so we covered ourselves with the holy blood of Jesus, and we knew you were going to come today. God revealed this to me. But we ask you right now to accept Jesus Christ in your heart. And, you know, something happened. This guy dropped the weapon and he said, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. And he renounced the cartels and became Christian. You see, these things are happening right now in real time. So don't believe that we're all abandoned and Jesus not doing his thing. Oh, yeah, he's doing his thing. You know, and that's why we praise him every day, because he is operating within the matrix. Just because you don't see him walking right beside you on a sidewalk on a Saturday morning doesn't mean he's not there. He is there. You know, that's why my faith is so strong in him, you know, because I trust him so much that I know he will never abandon me. And like that, there are so many more cases in El Salvador, in Central America. We have the same situation now. We have policemen that instead of using their guns, they're preaching the Bible in the streets. And guess what? The crime rates are going down. The crime rates are going down because they're praying. The people are praying in the public parks. People in schools are beginning to pray again. And what's going on in America? You can't even grab a Bible and go with your neighbor in Arizona because you'll be arrested for it. I mean, what's going on here, right? Since Hitler took the Bible out of schools during World War II, everything became, you know, emptied. The Holy Spirit abandoned the nations that did not preach the Bible in school. There is a code. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was going to say that's interesting because when the settlers first came to America, inside their schoolrooms, they didn't have textbooks and things that they have today. They read the Bible. They read the Bible. That was their everyday learning. That's how they learned to read. They were reading that. And it's, you know, what do you say? I don't...
Well, I can say something. I walk the streets with my Bible. You know, whenever I have a chance and I stay at a hotel, I ask the Lord and I say, Lord, could I have this Bible, the Gideon Bible that I see here, and take it so I can give it to other people that might read it? Take it, he says. You take that Bible and give it to someone that really is going to read my word. And what I'm doing, I'm stocking up on Gideon Bibles, you know. And and what happens? Right now I have a student that's learning through me. He's learning English. He's an engineer. But, you know, I gave him a Bible the other day, a Gideon Bible that I brought. And he was, like, so thankful. He said, oh, my God, thank you so much, my own Bible. He was like, oh, wow, right? And he started reading it in English. So, you see, yes, we can do those things. Instead of those Bibles getting all dusty inside those hotel rooms, why not preach it? Why not give it away? Why not tell the people, hey, have you heard the good news? Hey, Jesus is coming. Hey, hey, hey. Oh, no, you're one of those crazy Christian nuts, right? Right? Well, no. We're not crazy. And yes, we are Christian, and we're not going to deny that. But, you know, Christianity has gotten such a bad image because of Mormons preaching a false Bible in the streets. And people see us, you know, I'm blonde. Imagine blonde and green-eyed and walking in the streets of Mexico with a black tie. People say, oh, this guy's a Mormon. All he needs is a little bicycle. Right? So that's the problem we have. We have a true division, a chasm in what the true definition of Christianity was was in the time of Jesus, and all these new sects and groups that call themselves Christian and are not. You know what I'm getting at? It's bad. It's really bad. A Catholic cannot call himself Christian if he believes in the Virgin Mary over Jesus Christ, for example. Right? But they don't see that. They don't want to accept that. They're like on a total state of mind control. It's really, really, really bad. They worship a virgin goddess who they believe is the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I even get these emails all the time, you know, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I just got an email like a couple of days ago, like, if Mary was impregnated by the Father, what does that make her? The mother of God. So she's more important than God. Do you get it? Like, what? You see how bad it is? So these people, they truly are under a state of mind control. The Vatican, with their new emergent church, this new ecumenism, they call it, where they're going to graft in all forms of religion and ideologies. They're going to create the new neo-pagan world religious system where everybody's going to get along. And yes, God exists, but, you know, he can be Allah, he can be Buddha, and he can be whoever you want him to be. What is that, you know? So we have that problem. We have the Antichrist showing his ugly little face very soon. And what I see is that Jesus is going to take us to safe places, like safe havens. For example, last year, 2012, was an incredible year of information. Everybody was, you know, on the internet researching this and that, researching the end of the world, researching the Mayan prophecies. It's going to happen, the alignments, Jerusalem, this and that. And then suddenly silence, you know, 22 of December, nothing happened. No, because it doesn't have to happen on a date. The Great Tribulation is a process. The birth pangs are a process of many, many years, not one day. But what we do understand by these events, for example, okay, is that at least people took a breather during the holidays and came to terms with one reality. Okay? God is in control, not us. All right? Mm-hmm. And for those people that are still thinking, you know, you have to evacuate. If you live on the West Coast, if you live on the East Coast, you've got to go to the central part of the United States, to the Ozark Mountains. If not, you're going to die. Well, you know, I have good news. Jesus conquered death for me, right? All right? And since he conquered death for me, if it's his will that I be drowned in a tsunami, so be it. Because he showed me something incredible, you know, in a dream. He showed me something wonderful and majestic. And in Psalm 65, he also mentions it, that he moves every single drop of water, all right? Every single drop of water is under his command and control. Why do you think this huge 7.7 earthquake in Alaska that triggered a tsunami alert all over the Canadian coast and part of Washington was a non-event? I mean, this quake was a big one. It was only 3 miles deep, and it should have triggered a very big widespread tsunami. No tsunami. This was just last Saturday, right? And there was no tsunami because God is in control. Look, Psalm 65, what does it say here? It says here, okay, here it is. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness will thou answer us. O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them are afar off upon the sea. That's sea number one, mentions the water, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains. By his strength. He's not saying, you know, the geological table says that the mountains moved and formed because evolution and the planet moved. No, it says here, he put the mountains in place. Being girded with power. That means the mountains, the continental shelves, and everything are girded with power of Jesus Christ alone. All right? So when we say, oh, my God, I'm going to die in an earthquake. No, you're not. Jesus has your back. And if he wants to move you, he'll just wake you up in the middle of the morning and say, you know, I want you to grab your bag, grab your children, get out of there right now. Who are you? I'm an angel. Okay, who sent you? Jesus Christ. Okay, then you grab your stuff and get out of here. You know, that those things happen, you know. And it continues saying here in Psalm 65, 7, it says, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. Ah, excuse me. Is that not saying who can calm down the noise of the ocean and the noise of their waves, meaning tsunamis and storms and things that come our way, and the tumult of the people, meaning the people that get all rowdy and scared? He calms everything down. This is the most beautiful thing. You know, so how can we come to the ultimate faith? The ultimate faith is understanding that we walk with him and he's not abandoning us, all right? I know things get hard. You know, things are going to get harder even. And we go through personal problems and experiences and great travails. You know, everybody has issues nowadays, but you know what? I'm preaching the Bible, I'm not stopping, and you know, he's rewarding me. Because whatever you ask of him, and this is what he tells you, you ask me anything, you ask the Father anything in my name, and I shall provide. Right? He's promising you something. He's not going to go back on his promise. Okay? And this is something I want to tell people. I mean, it's your relationship with Jesus. If you're under a situation of great stress, adversity, sickness, whatever it may be, talk to him directly, sincerely, and just talk to him like if he were right in front of you, right? And you know what's going to happen? He's going to start aligning the events supernaturally in your life so they all align correctly. I say this from personal experience. Okay, Jesus transformed my life. You know, I'm just grateful every single morning when I wake up that he still allows my heart to be beating in this world and lets me do his will. You know, but I tell him, you know, I've gone through adversities, but I question these adversities not because, oh, what did I do to receive these things? Why am I going through these things? You know, I'm not scared anymore of what might happen because I know that he already has me secured. That's faith, you know, and I believe that's the true faith that we should abide by. And here it says in Psalm 65:9, it says, thou visitest the earth and waterest, thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. So thou preparest them corn, when thou hast so provided for it, thou wearest the ridges therefore abundantly, thou settest the furrows thereof. I mean, that's why we have food. Thou makest soft with showers, thou blessest the springing thereof. I mean, that is just poetry by David, you know. This is just beautiful. And then to think that corn is mentioned in the Bible, you know, corn comes out of Mexico. What is corn being mentioned in the Old Testament? That's wonderful, you know. So there's many people, you know, that say, for example, they abide by the scriptures, and they say, well, if it's not in the Bible, it doesn't exist. Well, no. Mangoes also were created by God, but they're not in the Bible, you know. But it surprises me that it emphasizes corn two times here in the Bible. So every time we read the Bible over and over again, we realize there's these little nuggets of knowledge and wisdom, you know. And I love to read the Bible because it really, really helps us to discern, you know, what we're going up against.
Well, I have to help my son with homework, and he is my first ministry. but I hate to cut this short because
right.
What you have said, and I'm just wow. I'm still stuck on the fact that they're running over babies in the middle of the street with a truck.
The evil is already set loose upon the earth. Satan's armies are already preparing. at the gates of Babylon, America. It's just a matter of time when 40,000 Hezbollah soldiers and all these Revolutionary Guards and everything are going to use Mexico along with China and whoever else they're going to do it with and go into the United States under a pretext by the United Nations that the United States has had a terrible natural disaster of epic proportions and they need somebody to save them now. And the whole world is going to unite and invade your country and take it down limb by limb. And it's so sad because what I've seen for the future of the United States just brings tears to my eyes. I don't want to say it, but it's going to happen because I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about repenting for the nation or praying for your president. That's a lie. It's
mm-hmm.
about your personal relationship with Jesus. So few are left for him alone. So why would we worry for the rest that don't even want to hear this message, you know?
Yeah.
It's like I've been saying it all over the place, you know. There's a depraved indifference, like Pastor Eric Ludi says out of Colorado. There's a depraved indifference inside society. Nobody cares if somebody runs over a dog, much less a person, you know. Nobody cares if these things are happening in Mexico. You know, they just care about political gain, you know, in Central Africa instead of helping us out here in Mexico. You see, when I see the mothers crying because their children are being killed in the streets of a soccer field because just these guys in military fatigue went into a soccer field and killed 20 children, nobody talks about that in American media, for example. This happens here once a month. I mean, welcome to the Mexican killing field. Now, if anybody wants to do a little more research on that, I'm going to recommend you an author. His name is Charles Bowden. And he's a true American author and a journalist. And if anybody wants to research an objective side of things, Charles Bowden, it's B-O-W-D-N. And he wrote a book about Ciudad Juarez. There's even a YouTube video called Dead When I Got Here, Charles Bowden and Ciudad Juarez. So you can get an idea and a grasp from somebody that speaks the truth of how the situation really is, and his book is Murder City. And if anybody can pray, please, a hedge of protection over all Christian homes in Mexico, we would appreciate it because, you know, Lord's will. You know, I had to get a rifle, I had to get guns, and I had to get machetes, but that's just for self-defense in case I need it. But, you know, I know the Lord has my back, and the cartels have come and tried to kill us. The CIA came and tried to kill us 2 years ago. They were unsuccessful. And you know what? We're still working, and we're still working in favor of Jesus Christ and his holy army, which we are all working right now for the second coming. And, you know, I'm not going to cower down or start being any more quiet or censored anymore because, you know, we're up to that point where we have to speak out. And thank you so much for having me on your show. It's quite a pleasure, and I'll be here whenever you need me again, all right? I'd like to one day talk about my heaven experiences. That's really cool.
I would actually, I would definitely like to hear. I don't know if mine was accurate, but I was there in a pink bunny suit in my dream.
Well, you know, that expresses
before God,
innocence.
So.
Yeah,
that's
well,
what?
Innocent.
Oh.
You know,
yeah,
it's like when we go to heaven, we have to be like children, you know, Jesus says, you know, before the king.
Yeah, it's that like, was interesting. We sat down with the Starbucks coffee, and I had a pink bunny suit on.
Well, we'd have to analyze that one.
Yeah.
You know?
But I would love for you to come back on the show again, and I really appreciate you coming on, and I thank the Lord for opening the door. And, you know, even though there's things that you had mentioned tonight, you know, none of us probably wanted to hear, that's what this show is all about. You know, it's about saying things that don't get said.
So, you know, it's like the India issue that you've been touching upon. I hadn't mm-hmm. heard of it. I heard it on Alex Jones that he started talking about it. I'm sorry, I have not read about it, but I imagine
yeah.
it's something so so terrible. But those are the little things, you know. There's so many other things that aren't even being mentioned that many of us don't even hear about, like the stuff that's happening in North Korea. And, you know, but if, you know, if we get too much into those negative topics, you know, we become sad and despair kicks in. No, we got to pray up and be strong, you know. By the way, if you could pray for that pastor, Nassif, I think his name is Nassif Youssef, up there in Iran. They arrested him again.
Oh, boy. Yeah. There's a 23-year-old Indian girl who's in critical condition right now. She was gang raped.
Oh, my God.
So that's what caught my attention with it, with her. And then I just started seeing more and more of these girls, young girls who are just afraid. They won't even go to school. They're so afraid.
Yeah. In Mexico, we have something similar, you know, with the children disappearing. We have 150,000 children disappearing off the streets every year. We've had reports coming in of Danone trucks, you know, being filled with bodies of dead children, frozen, and driven over the border into the United States. We don't know for what purpose. I mean, weird, bizarre events. We have, yes, a lot of disappearance right now south of the border with young women, very beautiful young women, 15, 14, 15 years old. We know that the trafficking of women is rampant. We know the Russian mafia, the Armenians, the Eastern European blocs are trafficking these young women. But the gang raping in India, that's just beyond measure. I mean, how could you define that depravity and senseless act except by evil itself, you know?
Yeah.
I started fighting last year against child pornography and online on Facebook. Facebook is protecting pedophiles, for example. Twitter is protecting terrorists on their network. It's like ridiculous, you know. It's like, yeah, we have all the perks and necessities that the internet brings us, but you know what? At the same time, let's let criminals come into our virtual environment as well, you know. I mean, talk about righteous acts. So yeah, I mean, and India, since India is a pagan country, as you mentioned, you know, but that doesn't begin to justify why they would attack young girls, you know. You know, it does explain that the enemy, the demons inside these men, are doing it because they are infested by demons themselves. So it's not them that are doing the action, but the devil. And that shows us that that's just one notch up the level of evil that is coming upon the world very soon. You know? It's going to get worse. Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, like I said, for coming on. I sure appreciate it. We'd love to have you come back on again.
Sure.
And talk with us some more and just kind of keep us updated as to what is taking place, because we're not hearing about it here.
I know. And and I don't write a lot about it because, you know why? It's too dangerous, you know.
Sure.
Really. I mean, friend journalists, I've never seen them ever again because they wrote some comment on their blog and they got taken out. So, yeah, but on your show, you know, in English, I mean, I can talk openly. I don't have that problem, especially when we have the Lord on our side. But openly, like as a media outlet, we can't talk about the bad things. But I'm going to leave you with a gift. If anybody wants to research this, I'm going to leave everybody with a beautiful gift. Type in whatever search engine you want, the Haya code. And Haya is spelled hey, like hay. You know, hay, the hay that we roll up, hay, you know? Like H-A-Y-A-H. That's a Hebrew word for the word I am. So it's a revelation given to me by Jesus Christ this past year, and I want to share it with everybody, all your listeners. It's called the Haya code. So it's H-A-Y-A-H and then the word code, Haya code. And you'll see it pop up on my site, Alexander Bachman. Read that, and I hope that strengthens you, sisters, brothers, and everybody. May God, Jesus, always be with you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and Father bless, and everyone, thank you so much for listening to the show. We will keep you posted as to upcoming programs in the near future. And Dorothy, I just want to say thank you, and Father bless you for the help that you do for the show. It's we're a team, and I can't do it without you. So. Thank you so much for your support. And I just want to say, Father, bless everyone. Good night. And may you have sweet sleep in the Lord tonight.
Together eternally with the Almighty. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Father, bless.